So I'm so special. Why are you laughing?
Proverbs chapter 1. I was kind of hoping there was a special. I didn't have time to study this morning, so I was just going to look over a message, but I just had to grab one out of the back of my Bible, see if that works this morning. Proverbs chapter 1. Preaching on something that none of you need, but just, you know, in case there was an odd person here that needed this, you know, maybe it'll help you. I'm preaching on the subject of correction. Well, maybe a few more people need it than realize it. Anyway, let's going to read in Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We'll get back to that verse later. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, few people like to be told that they are wrong. And most people get offended when you tell them that they're wrong. And they don't handle it correctly. So wouldn't it be good for us to realize that we need correction? And then when it comes, we'd handle it correctly? All right, so I've just said the whole sermon right there. We could pray, give the invitation, and everyone would come forward and say, I need to be right. We should be able to say, yeah. You know, it's easy for us to admit, you know, I'm not always right. But when someone tells you that you're not right, then what happens? Okay, let's pray. Get in the sermon. Father, we thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity to be gathered together. We've got your word in front of us. I pray that the truth of it will bring conviction and give us wisdom about what to do with our lives and help us, Lord, to see the faults that are in our lives and be willing to accept correction. Lord, help me in this limited time to say what needs to be said, and I pray you'll deal with hearts as only you can. We give you the honor for what you will do. We pray these things in Jesus' name, amen. Our text reminds us about what kind of person despises wisdom and instruction, and that kind of person is a fool. All right, so we all need to be corrected. Let's look at, first of all, the reason for correction. Do you know why you need to be corrected? Because you're not always right. I mean, isn't that simple? Everybody needs to be corrected at times. Even great leaders in the Bible. David sinned. Was he corrected? Yes. Noah, he sinned. Was he corrected? Moses, he lost his temper. Was he corrected? Peter walked on water. Then he denied Christ. Was he corrected? It doesn't matter how much you've done for God and how many souls you've won, and how talented you are, and how you're the greatest gift to the local church. It doesn't matter about all that you've done. You're wrong sometimes. And you need to admit it, and you need someone to point it out so that you can become better. Because you're not going to be any better if no one points it out. Okay? So if those great men of the faith needed to be corrected, should we be surprised if we need to be corrected? No. I mean, I haven't done, you know, anything near what David did or Moses. You know, I'm probably more like Demas, you know? Okay, but I haven't done anything like those guys have done. And if they needed it, I need it. But I don't want it. Now, don't look at me, because you don't want it either. Okay? None of us want it, but we should want it. You know, I had a man in Zambia that almost every time I went to him with something to, you know, nothing big and major, but just pointing out some things to correct. So, you know, I think it'd be better if you did this or this or this. And he helped in the ministry. Well, I don't know if we're having a lockdown or maybe we should have a lockout. And I would go to him And when I would correct him about something, you know what he'd say? He'd say, thank you. I said, whoa, I like talking to this guy. He would say thank you, and he would humbly take it, and he would go and fix it. You say, well, it's because you know, he was just, you know, some lowly. He wasn't just some lowly guy. He was one of the most respected men in the church. What made him so respected? He didn't think he was a big shot. A big shot who knows he's a big shot isn't a big shot. He's not worth respecting. So why do we need to be corrected? Well, you know, Isaiah 53, verse 6, this is, you know, you all know it. But all we like have, okay, sheep are stupid, aren't they? Don't call me that. Ben's down there, don't call me that. Are you a sheep? Okay. Well, you called yourself that, I mean, didn't he, Jacob? He did, yeah. Of course, you've never made a mistake either, right? Nice assist yesterday. Now, wait a minute. I can poke fun at him because I'm going to tell a story on myself here in a moment. We tend to admit we're not perfect until somebody else reminds us. That was stupid. I shouldn't have done that. And I can say that to myself, right? But if Brother Mitchell says it to me, well, that's fighting words right then. I say, don't tell me I'm stupid. That's my job to tell me that. Okay? I remember driving, I don't remember all the exact details, but I've kind of got the gist of it because it was a long time. And some stories you don't want to remember about yourself. But when we were on deputations about 13 years ago, and we're driving, of course, my wife's doing co-pilot. We didn't have a GPS, we just had an aggravator. And no. She normally did a fine job, and every once in a while she didn't do a fine job, and I'd have to, you know, which way we're supposed to go. I need to know right now. You know, and she's got the map. By the time you find your place on the atlas, you know, I need to know now which way. Anyway, at one point, I don't remember all the details. I'm sure it was my fault. That's why I don't remember them all. But her recommendation was we need to take a certain exit. And I said, no, we need to go this way. So what did we do? We went that way. Amen? And about a half hour later, I don't know if we were in another state that we weren't supposed to be in. We were definitely not where we were supposed to be. And I was like, okay, I think we took the wrong road. I mean, that was real hard to admit. Amen? Mrs. Muller's over there laughing because that's probably happened with you guys too, right? Oh, never. And so my wife tried to help me, and I was wrong. Man, I was a man. I know what to do. And that's the thing, guys. When you're the husband, you're right. Even when you're wrong, you're right. At least in your own mind, you're right. And when you find out that you're wrong, then you're not right. So you need to get right and stop being wrong. Anyway. Why did you come to college? Is it because you know everything? Or is it because there's some things you need to know, to learn and need to know? So when you get something wrong, and I'm not just talking about it on a quiz or a test or a paper, and of course you get the red marks, you are being corrected. And what happens? Oh, stupid question on the test anyway. Whose fault is it? It's not your fault, it's the teacher's fault. I wasn't in the notes. Stupid question. I can't understand him anyway. Right? And it's always someone else's fault. And you can't take correction. And it's not just the classroom. It's the dorm room.
Well, how come Mr. Schrock keeps giving me demerits for not taking out the trash?
Because you don't take out the trash.
Well, he's picking on me. He don't like me.
You know, can I say something? And I've said this to my children. If you don't want to be corrected all the time, stop doing wrong things. Duh. Right? And people take it so personally. And they get so bent out of shape because you told them they're wrong. Just stop doing what's wrong. Stop having an attitude. Stop being an idiot. If you are being one. Of course, you're not all idiots. So. So you came to college because you don't know everything. Expect to be corrected. When you're in your ministries and you think, again, that you, man, they're lucky to have me. And then you get corrected. Expect it. Why? Because you don't know everything. That's why you're here. You're not here just to get book knowledge. The beauty of Fairhaven Baptist College is that it's part of Fairhaven Baptist Church. And you get to be part of the ministries and get to learn. I mentioned in my class last week, well, that's not how we did it back home. We're not back home anymore. Okay? And maybe we can learn something here. Doesn't mean everything we do is better than everybody else. But maybe we can learn something if we have a heart to learn it. So high school students, why are you here in school? Not because you want to get more knowledge and because you want to learn. Because your parents know that you don't know everything. That's why you're here. And because they know that you need to be corrected. All right? So why? What's the reason for a correction? Because we're often wrong. Secondly, because sometimes we're blind to our own mistakes. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way, not some, every way of a man is what? Right. In his own eyes. But the Lord pondereth the heart. So everything I do is right. I'm always right. And my children, they're always right. And my wife, she's always right. I mean, we live in a perfect house until you get to know us. Because I'm not always right. My wife's not always right. My children aren't always right. You're not always right. But you think you are. And when you're doing something, you're taking a stand for something. You're taking a stand for something stupid. You're not even taking a stand. You're like falling down. And you think you're right sometimes. And you're going down the wrong path. And you're blind to your own mistakes. Ever been wrong, but you thought you were right? All the time. As a boy, now I'll give you my sports story, Jacob, so you don't feel so bad. I remember playing basketball. Now, I was younger. I don't remember. It was grade school, maybe early junior high. I can't remember what it was. Maybe sixth, seventh grade, something. I can't remember. I had no clue. You know, sixth, seventh graders, they have no clue about anything. Right? You guys can say that. Seventh graders, do they know anything? I didn't think so. Anyway, so 6th, 7th grade, I don't know, 5th grade, I don't know, I was young, and I get the ball, man, I was dribbling, and I was going to the hoop, man, and I shot that thing, and my teammates weren't cheering for me, and I had nobody guarding me. That's what happens when you're shooting at the wrong basket. Okay? And then soon, I mean, I'm catching it from every direction, just people screaming at me. John, you stop! And it's like, what? I knew something was wrong, just couldn't figure out it. I got a fast break. Of course, I wasn't too fast. It was probably, duh. But I got my slow, fast break. I'm going up. I do my layup. Thankfully, I think I missed. I'm pretty sure I missed because I couldn't hit much anyway. But they were screaming. They weren't encouraging me. I was getting yelled at. Why? because I was wrong. Now, would that have been better for me if they just never said anything and the rest of the game I just and finally got one in? No. I needed to be corrected. Why? Because I was an idiot. Doesn't help you when you're going down the wrong path and nobody says anything. So why do we need to be corrected? Because we're wrong. Give you number two. The reactions to correction. There's two reactions, basically. The first one is either you reject it, or the second one is you receive it. I'm not very deep, but it's just good horse sense. And you'd think that because we all need it, we'd all be happy to receive it. But that's not always the case. Now think about it. How do you respond when you are corrected? How do you respond? I know you're thinking about how your roommate responds or how your brother or sister responds, and then it's like. How do you respond? Well, let me give you a few different ways. Of course, there's two ways, reject it or receive it, but how are some ways people reject criticism and correction? Because it can manifest itself in a number of ways. Let me just give you a couple thoughts, and I don't have time to get into detail on all of these, but the first one is people make excuses. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. People make excuses. Some are just born excuse makers. I mean, they have a reason for everything they do wrong. It's never their fault. They have a good, legitimate reason for everything they do, and they're not right. They can answer for it. You know people like that, don't you? And sometimes you've been like that. And you've been called on the carpet by your parents or your youth pastor or your pastor or someone has said, hey, how come you keep making excuses? Stop making excuses and take what? Responsibility. Some of you heard that. That's why you can repeat it. Right? Because you've heard it before. If you haven't heard it before, well, oof. Got a long way to go. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Of course, Adam and Eve sinned. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So whose fault was it? It was the woman's fault, right? It was the woman. The first two words is the woman. And it's always the wife's fault. That's biblical right here, isn't it? And it's right there. It's in black and white. It's all her fault. And then, verse 13, and the Lord said unto the woman, what is that that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did. So, it's the woman's fault, and she said, well, it's not my fault, it's the serpent's fault. You know what? We don't really see the serpent making any excuses, do we? But the man and the woman, man, they get all the excuses in the world. What? It's not my fault. It's not my fault I didn't take out the trash. It's not my fault I slept in. It's not my fault I didn't do my homework. It's not my fault I didn't do my chores around my house. It's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. We're living in such a victimized society. Everyone's a victim. It's never your fault. It's always someone else's fault. God wants us to see where we're wrong. Take responsibility for action. He wants you to repent when you're wrong. That's what he wants you to do. When you're wrong, he wants you to repent. But when you make excuses, then there's nothing to repent of. Because you didn't do anything wrong. So you don't have to change. And if you don't have to change, you don't have to confess. And by the way, then you don't have any forgiveness. And you don't have any peace. And you don't have any fellowship with God. And your life keep going spiraling downwards. And that's what's going to happen with some who don't learn to take correction, make excuses. You know what else happened here? Not only is there making excuses, but there's fault finding. That's what happens sometimes. You're corrected and you find fault with the one who's correcting you. Notice back, we're still here in Genesis chapter 3. Notice who Adam blamed in verse 12. He said it was the woman. But now he also does something else, all in the same sentence. Didn't take long for sin to make this man depraved, did it? He blamed God. The woman whom thou gavest me. Lord, you gave her to me. I remember on my survey trip to Zambia in the year 2000, we went down there and we were looking at some different areas about maybe where the Lord would lead us and go. And we went down to a place called Mamba. You ever been down there, James, in Mamba? Way down deep, but man, it was hot down there. And then we went down out to the village and we found Chief Mwemba. So you know Chief Mwemba, it's a Tonga name. Anyway, so we found Chief Mwemba and we sat down and we talked to Chief Mwemba. And, you know, he had his multiple wives and all that. And he was a Tonga man. You know, that was what some of the Tongas did. They had polygamy and things like that. And we sat down and we talked to Chief Mwemba and going through the plan of salvation with him. And actually, Brother Gordon was taking me around. I had no clue. I'm like, well, I don't know where I am, what I'm doing. And then I don't know how to, you know, we've been pulled over by the police and they were trying to get a bribe. The police story was another thing. Instead of getting a bribe out of us, we gave him some gospel literature, and he was happy. He wanted some for his friends. That was a great thing. So we get down to see Chief Mwemba, and he was presented with the fact of sin, and he said, "Well, that was God's fault." He said, "He gave Eve to the man. It wasn't Adam's fault." He said he gave it to... So it wasn't just Adam who believes that. It's the devil who put that in his mind, right? And there's still a lot of people out in the world that think that way. Now, what's my point? Let's backtrack. What's the point? Adam was finding fault with the one who was correcting him. How many times does the preacher get up and he stepped all over your toes, called you on the carpet, whatever it is, and you've said in the back of your mind, who does he think he is? He got his problems. And you can analyze and find every problem with the person who's correcting you. And then, because you can find a problem, or you've made up a problem, you don't have to repent. You don't have to be corrected. It's still not your fault, is it? Because you found fault with somebody else. And that's what happens all the time. People are wrong and they instantly seek to discredit the person who's corrected them. I mean, you think even in our age of entitlement, everybody expects everything. And if you don't give me what I want, then you're picking on me. Right? Someone goes to get a job and maybe it's a woman, or maybe it's someone from a minority group or something like that, and they don't get the job.
Well, you didn't give me the job because I'm a woman.
Well, maybe you couldn't do the job. Maybe that's what it was, right? It has nothing to do with minority, nothing to do with being a woman, nothing to do with anything, but because we're entitled to everything.
Be picking on me. He's picking on me.
No! Maybe you're just not everything you think you are. And maybe you just need to step it up a notch.
But man, you pick on me.
You know what that is? Nothing but stinking, dirty, rotten pride. And you got it, and I've got it. And we all have to deal with it. We become defensive. That's another way people reject it. They just become defensive. They bristle up. I mean, there's certain people you know. I got to go talk to this person, but you know what's going to happen. You already know what's going to happen. It's like, and they just got an answer for everything. They got an argument. They want to argue back. You know, Titus chapter 2, verse 9 talks about the servant with the master. It says, not answering again. That's a pretty good tip for us to take. Not answering again. You know what that means? In layman's terms, shut up. That's what it means. Not answering again. Remember when I was in college, I get some demerits. I honestly got some that I deserved, but these ones I did not deserve. They were wrongly given. I remember going to the guy who gave them to me, and I said, I shouldn't have got those. He said, Dave, just eat them. Man, I was ticked. The little punch-out room was right over here, opposite. It's not any longer there anymore. I went in there. I had those demerits. I put them in my mouth. I started chewing them. Just eat them. I'll eat them. They tasted nasty too, man. But I was eating them. Well, I couldn't take correction. Man, I was right. Oh, well. You've got to have an answer for an argument for everything. Some people just get angry. They're like a nice-looking balloon. You get some, you know, shiny balloon. It's just sitting there all decorative, you know. But what happens if you come and you put a little bit of pressure on it, a little bit too much pressure on it? Boom! That's like a lot of people. Oh, man, they look nice. They act nice. Everything's just beautiful. Put a little bit of pressure on them, and they can't handle it. Kaboom, they explode with some kind of outburst. Be angry and what? Sin not, the Bible says. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26. Uzziah was a good king, but he didn't like to be corrected. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 3 through 5. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was also Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So things are going well. Look down in verse 7. And God, what? Helped him. So he's in favor with God. Look over in verse 16. But when he was strong, that was the problem, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him with 80, that's 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. See, men of God shouldn't be sissified wimps. Should be valiant, strong men who want to take a stand for things. Anyway, that's for free. Verse 18, and they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Now he was the king, and guess what? He needed to be corrected. And who corrected him? The men of God. But he was the king. Watch out when you think you're one of the untouchables. Verse 19, and Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah, the chief priest and all the priests, looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted to go out because the Lord had smitten him. He was a good king, but he didn't like to be corrected. He got angry. The Bible says he was wroth. He got angry. And who did it hurt? Did it hurt the priest or did it hurt himself? It always hurts you. You can catch an attitude. You can get angry at everybody who's trying to help you. They're trying to help you. Do you think parents like to get on their kids? You think dorm supervisors like to have to go play mommy and daddy?
Time to get up. You didn't take out your trash.
No, no one likes to have to do that. It's not some great thrill that people get. Man, it's like, but instead of saying, hey, these people are trying to help me, we get proud, we catch an attitude, we get angry, and like Uzziah, who does it hurt? Nobody but yourself. Who lost their testimony, Azariah or Uzziah? Uzziah. Who looked like an idiot because of how we act? Azariah or Uzziah? The one doing the correction or the one who refused the correction? You know every time. But somehow we get so blinded because every way of a man is what? Right. You're always right. Even when you're wrong, you're still right. Isn't it? It's a beautiful thing when you're living contrary to the Word of God. But it's not a beautiful thing because it's going to catch up to you. People get angry. People become bitter. We're in Second Chronicles. Go back to chapter 18. Chapter 18. Remember, Jehoshaphat made a union here with Ahab, and they were going to go up. Ahab said, hey, let's go up and let's go fight. Now, Jehoshaphat had no business being with him, but he said, let's go fight. And Jehoshaphat said, well, let's find out from a prophet. And he brings all these jokers who aren't a real prophet of the Lord, and they all say, yeah, it's okay. He says, no, isn't there a prophet of the Lord? Look in verse number 7. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. There's only one man who we can talk to about God. But I hate him. And why did he hate him? Look what it says. For he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil. That's why he hated him. He hated him. Because the prophet always told him he was wrong and corrected him. Do you know what? There's a lot of children, there's a lot of teenagers, there's a lot of young adults who hate their parents because their parents have told them they were wrong. There are people in churches who hate their pastors. Kids in youth groups who hate their teachers. They hate their youth pastors. They loved him enough to tell him they were wrong. Correction. 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 Become bitter. Filled with hate. Some people just ignore it. You ever go up and talk to somebody and you try to talk to them? I was talking to him. I was trying to warn a guy. Man in the church, I just tried to warn him about something. I just made a comment. I remember it was on 4th of July. I said, hey, you might want to be careful about this. And we were talking, and it was like I never even said anything. He completely ignored what I had just said. Didn't even acknowledge it. You know what I said to me? Oh, maybe there is a problem. And I was just trying to warn him. Maybe there is going to be a problem. I'm not talking to you because you won't say nice things to me. That's Ahab. That's Ahab. That's Ahab. Some of you, you've got something against somebody, even in this room, because they didn't say nice things about you. Get over it. Get over it. Some people have a pity party. Go back to the balloon illustration. You blow up the balloon, and you don't tie it. What happens if you just, you know, just get a little of that saliva there, and you just like slowly let the air out? What does it do? It goes, and it just kind of winds its way out, and it flattens. You know, a lot of people just like that. You go talk to them and correct them. They say, hey, could you look at this? Can you proof this? Can you look at that? Can you do this for me? And you look at it and you say, well, maybe you could fix this and this. And this. I mean, pain is all over their face.
How could you say that?
They sigh, they pout because they just start feeling sorry for themselves. I don't know how you are. Some people even agree. They'll even agree, but they won't take care of it. Remember Saul? He's chasing after David. And we don't have time to turn there, but he's chasing after David, and he's trying to get David, and David has a chance to kill him, and he doesn't. And David said, hey, king, you know, I could have done this. And the king says, I have sinned. He even uses those words, I have sinned. You are more righteous than I am. That 2 chapters later, do you know what he's doing? He's chasing after him to kill him again. 2 chapters later, he agreed, and many times, people will come to you and they will say, you need to work on this. You need to work on this. And you say, yeah, I know that's wrong. Yes, I know that's wrong. And you never change. You never change. I don't know how many times in my ministry I've had to go to people. I've talked to parents. I've said, listen, you're going to lose your children if you don't do this. You got to get on them. You got to discipline them. You got to teach them. You got to train them. You got to teach them the Bible. And if you don't do it, you're going to lose them. And they will say, yes, I know, I need to do that. And they don't do it. And you watch your kids just go to the devil. Don't think because you've agreed that you're wrong, that you've taken correction. Do something with it. Do something. Receive it. I don't have time. Let's just... Proverbs 29. You know what happens if you don't receive correction? Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved. Does that describe you? Often reproved, just corrected over and over and over for the same thing. And you won't do it? You won't change? He that being often reproved, what does he do? Hardeneth his neck. What happens? Shall suddenly be destroyed. So I'm doing fine. Shall suddenly be destroyed. Out of nowhere. And that without remedy. You mess around long enough. You refuse long enough. You refuse God and his people, his word, his Holy Spirit. You refuse him long enough, you will be destroyed. When? I don't know. Suddenly. How? Without remedy. There's people in jail today who used to go to Fairhaven Baptist Academy. There are people who are dead who used to go to Fairhaven Baptist Academy. They never got correction. They never learned that they got to take it. Now listen, your whole college career, your whole life hinges on how you take correction. If you've got a habit, a pattern of not taking it right, you better change. Obviously, I don't have time to finish the message, but receive it. Learn to take it. The fool despises wisdom and instruction. If you can't take it, God says you're a fool. bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word. Lord, there's a whole lot more to say on the subject. I pray maybe if someone would take some time and study it out for themselves. Lord, help us have an open heart to learn to obey you when you come and speak to us. Lord, maybe there's some who are on the verge of destroying their lives because they don't take correction. Others have got that habit, and it's just a matter of time before they ruin everything without remedy. Pray, Lord, that we remember that you love us enough to correct us. Help us to be willing to take it.